Gotta find your own way, and don't be afraid. Check.
We're so connected that we're disconnected. You think it's pathetic, I'm empathetic. I'm just affected by what they projected. Accepted the darker sides that they bury. Scary, but prepare me when situations get hairy. Not Styles or Belafonte, a wise little brother, word of Pooh and Fonte, the one to old Kanye. Spiritual backpack with a touch of Q-tip, the abstract, try to make an impact. Like a dimple, watch the waves ripple. When life cripples, I'm just trying to make the complex simple. Like get me out of my head and in my heart space. Show compassion to myself on my off days, cause I beat myself up. Tyler Durden and Fight Club. Show me love, show me a sign from up above. Synchronicities, numbers repeating. I know one day I'll find what I be seeking.
I'm trying to find my own way.
Work's a regular thing. Have the anti-venom ready when I'm starting to sting. I'm scorpionic, plutonic, analyzing microscopic. I can be comedic, or I could dive to the depths of your soul. With every soul in return, I yearn to learn, integrate what I was taught. Ascend to higher levels, totem animals are hot. Connect spirit, vision, and thought. Stagnant energies meant to unblock. I now open doors I never used to unlock. I'm just channeling the greats. Meditate on sacred geometrical shapes and learn to embrace my own unique traits.
Cause I'm trying to find my own way.
I'm trying to find my own way.
I hope your Tuesday is going well. My name is Ryan Funk, here with you for another episode of U-Talk on 101.5 FM. We got a great episode today. Two interviews. One, talking about a new financial literacy pilot program coming here to Manitoba next year. And if you have any family or friends, or decided to take a travel to BC this weekend, there's an awesome event going on called Folktoria. Let's get into it. It's a reality for many Canadians that your hard-earned money doesn't go as far as it used to. With inflation and supply line issues, becoming financially literate is more critical than ever, and Manitoba's looking to help. Delivered by Enriched Academy, 1,500 Manitoba students in the 2023-24 school year will participate in a financial literacy pilot program.
Yeah, so my name is Kevin McCarthy. I'm the head of corporations and institutions. I really am involved in running the education division here at Enriched Academy, and also work with our partnerships with other organizations, governments, unions, things like that.
What can you tell me about Enriched Academy? You know, when did it start and what do you all do there?
Yeah, so we've actually been around for 20 years.
Wow.
And we teach people about money, the basics of money that for too many of us, myself included, did not learn in high school. We had to kind of
figure it out. Oh, I can relate to that as well.
So I'll just give quick backstory. So Kevin Cochran, who's our co-founder and president, he really is the start of Enriched Academy. When he finished high school, he went to high school in Toronto. Within 2 years, he was $20,000 in credit card debt. Just had never been taught how credit cards worked. He actually, if you can believe this, bought a car with a credit card.
Wow.
And got into real financial trouble because he didn't understand it, had never been taught it. And he was fortunate. He met a mentor. That mentor not only taught him about money, gave him a good solid job, but also encouraged him to give back in some way to his community. And the way Kevin decided to do that was go into his old high school and try and help kids learn about money to avoid the mistakes that he made. And over the course of 7-8 years, he gave hundreds of these talks. And the content got so good, so popular, and it was impacting so many kids' lives. He had parents asking them if he could, provide something for their other kids because their son or daughter was so inspired by what they were taught that Kevin realized, hey, there's a need here. He and his business partner, Jay, filmed their talks. They turned it into a DVD set. Got on the show Dragon's Den, got a couple deals with two of the dragons. And then it's obviously DVDs aren't the way of the future, and we moved everything online. And now we've got this program. It's expanded quite a bit. We've got a high school, middle school, elementary program. We've got a program for post-secondary, a program for adults. And so now our goal is really to provide financial education for all Canadians. And we're doing that in a number of ways. So really excited about what we're doing and the recent announcement in Manitoba.
Hearing that he got to go on to the Dragon's Den is actually really cool.
It was a very cool experience. They actually had all five dragons bidding to do, a deal with them. And they ended up doing a deal with Jim Treliving and Bruce Croxon. So which was great for raising awareness of what we did and what we do.
How did you get in connection with the Manitoba government? I guess, May 18th, they sent out a press release talking about this pilot program coming here to Manitoba. When did they first approach you?
Yeah, so we've been kind of reaching out and connecting with teachers across the country. And so last year we worked with a couple teachers in Manitoba. They used our program for some of their courses to help teach their students about money. We have a few other provincial partnerships. So in Prince Edward Island, we're working with every grade 10 student. They've incorporated our program right into their grade 10 careers course. And in Alberta, we've actually been working with the Alberta government for 3 years. Every school division in the province has our program. Last year, we reached 150,000 students in Alberta. And then in Ontario, we're working with 20 school boards directly. So we've got a pretty good track record over the last 4 years of working with schools across the country. And we connected with Manitoba Education, Manitoba government. I guess it was early, late last year, early this year. And we proposed that we would do, you know, potentially a pilot program. This is what we did in Alberta 3 years ago. And the Minister of Education liked that idea. The Department of Education liked that idea. And we had some discussions back and forth. And that's what we this is how this happened. And we announced on May 18th that we'll be doing a pilot program for 1,500 students in Manitoba next year.
I really hope this works out, because as you were mentioning before, financial literacy is just so important. If you're not taught those skills, it can easily get out of hand, like debts and things like, or like your, like the credit card thing. Walk me through a little bit about what the pilot program looks like, as well as, you know, what sort of things are they going to be learning through it? What do these classes all entail, sort of thing?
Yeah. So what our program is for high school students, we've got multiple modules teaching the basics of why is learning about money important? What are some misconceptions people have about money, students have about money? What is credit? How do you budget? Why is it important to budget? What's investing? How would you start investing? What's the importance of investing? So we've got a series of modules really teaching the essentials of what you need to know about money. So these are video modules, but we've incorporated tools and assignments and lesson plans for teachers. And so the way this will work is teachers who are teaching most likely the personal finance course or one of the essential math courses. There's a number of financial literacy outcomes that are in those courses. And we're hoping that teachers will join the pilot that are teaching those courses. And this will be a resource that they can use to help get their students excited about money and understanding the importance of learning this financial skill. And so we've put out any teacher that wants to join the pilot, we're encouraging them to come to enrichedacademy.com/Manitoba. That's where they will get more information. We will be providing live events for the students that are part of the program. Students get lifetime access to this, their Enriched Academy license with this course. And we provide support and training for teachers that take part in the pilot.
And with like interest rates and inflation and everything that we're seeing right now, just in terms of finances, you know, it's more important than ever to have those skills in order to navigate through the uncertain times that we seem to be going through.
Fully agree with that. I mean, I think, like you mentioned at the start, this financial literacy has always been important. But I think, as you said, now more than ever, that there's more economic uncertainty than I can remember in my lifetime. And in fact, inflation has gone up. I mean, that's a new thing. We've now added some webinars and some teaching. We had an event last year where we had 40,000 students from across Canada come to it. It was a virtual event, but we were teaching kids about inflation because that's something that we haven't had to talk about for years, for decades in Canada. And so there's lots of questions about what that is. So that's one of the concepts in that we're now teaching to students again.
For someone who's, you know, maybe thinking about, how do I better educate myself on those sorts of things? What are kind of those first steps they need to be taking or should be taking to become better acquainted with financial literacy and to build those skills?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we definitely have a big focus on students, but we also have almost an equal focus on adults, because we've got an adult program. We do training in the workplace to help adults, to help employers and workers understand this. At times, it can be an intimidating topic, right? Around money. So we are working with organizations like the RCMP. We are working with organizations like the NHL alumni, the CFL Players Association, construction companies, other unions. It's actually this part of our program has really taken off. And for many adults, you know, it's really about the financial stress that the money induces. The number one, according to the federal government's reports, the number one stress Canadians have is financial stress about money, worrying about debt, things like that. And that impacts mental health, that impacts physical health, it impacts relationships. So this is, you know, this is a serious issue, and we're aiming to tackle it there. We're hoping to get the next generation and educate them. But for those that missed out, like myself and many others, of we're trying to do this type of training. And so some of the things that, you know, we focus on with adults who feel, you know, they may feel it's too late, but big point is that we say it's not too late. There's lots of things you can do. The key is, we think, is education that helps solve this. And one of the big things we look at is not always the most exciting topic, but is around budgeting and understanding where your money's going. A big thing that we teach is not necessarily about how much money you make. It's about what you do with that money. And you need to be able to manage your money, understand where you're spending money, where you might be able to, you know, save, and then eventually get into the mindset that, you know, you're paying yourself first, which is a, you know, common concept in personal finance. But the idea there is that you're putting aside a certain amount of your money, every paycheck that you get, to save and to invest. So at a high level, those are just, you know, a couple of the key concepts that we teach and we try to impart to those taking part in our program.
I mean, I'm going to have to apply some of those things to my own life as well.
Yeah.
For Enriched Academy, is there anything like on the horizon for the organization? Any like plans or things in the works?
Yeah, so we have lots of plans in the works. There's always lots of growth happening. We're actually in the process of refilming. We're always updating our content because the world of money doesn't stand still. Governments make different changes and you have to adjust. So we are actually in 2 weeks' time refilming actually our high school program. So it's going to be brand new, new videos, new interviews and things like that. We're always updating it, and our platform is being updated as well. So that's going to all launch in September. And then our focus is, I'm hopeful we have a few more announcements with large partners, you know, potentially some other provinces that see what Manitoba's done and say, hey, this is something that we need to do as well. So I'm in discussions with a number of other provinces. So I would just say, stay tuned. I think there's a lot more to come with what we're doing.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Where can people go to find out more about Enriched Academy?
Yeah, so our website is enrichedacademy.com. Specifically for Manitoba teachers, enrichedacademy.com/Manitoba. That's where all the information is available for the pilot. And then we're on all the other social media platforms as well. But our main site is enrichedacademy.com.
Oh,
I wish I married a painter. Each memory they choose, a reality not ours, never living in. I was busy waiting, wondering if you planned your next brush stroke before you.
Anguish, too anxious, yo. This is more staying my lane, but I got caught on your web like a domain. If I'm being curt, I know pain like Cobain. This blood flow to my brain, this dame, a chemical to trigger. Yo, the impala's not tame, let it happen, go figure. My head's numb in the blindness linger. I can't see straight, you ain't my teammate. Slept on like Steph was with Davidson. For Pete's sake, got receipts, need a rebate. Each day feel I'm lost in a trance. This ain't romance, this is a dance. And my world's been when you shoot me a glance. Roped in when you make your advance.
For the past 5 years, the Greater Victoria Folk Festival Society has produced Folktoria, a celebration of the cultural diversity found in Victoria. Victoria Centennial Square will host 39 cultural groups, associations, and individuals performing this year. This doesn't include the opening ceremonies with Jamie Orr and Philip Louis, and the several food trucks and vendors. Really exciting time again. I know last year we had a ton of awesome things to talk about, a lot of excitement about Folktoria. So how about we just go around the circle? Let's start with you, Melbourne. Your name and your involvement within the festival, and I guess just also the group that you sort of represent or are a part of.
Yes, ever since the Greater Victoria Folk Festival Society was started, I've been the treasurer, and also I'm the leader of the Norway dance group that we are performing as well. So
I'm very excited about Folktoria. As we've said before, it is a missing piece in our cultural landscape, the opportunity for people to come together from all of our different cultures to sing and dance together. So that makes me very happy in my heart. And myself, I sing with my two children. We sing Canadian folk songs, and this year we're going to be singing a song from BC, a song from Manitoba that's Ukrainian, and a song from the Gaspé. So we're trying to be multicultural as much as we can be in our little singing group.
And Pam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Pam Rudy. I've been with the festival and performing for 6 years. I guess 5 years. I've been on the so-called executive for all about the first year. I do secretary on that position. And I work with the Saanich International Folk Dancers, which does dances from many countries, mostly European, and there's the odd one that we'll do that comes from South America, like Bolivia, or just other places. Anyway, what I'm looking forward to this year is that in a program specifically, we're including some dances to bring some children on stage and have them dance with us.
That's going to be incredibly exciting.
We enjoyed them last year. You know, Melvin had commented about enjoying seeing kids in the front, kind of below the stage, and they'd be dancing and enjoying themselves. And so, you know, this year, as part of our 8 or so dances, we'll have 2 of them that we'll bring kids on stage for.
Yeah, I've been talking with several different cultural groups. I had a conversation with the incoming vice president of a Portuguese association or a cultural group here in Winnipeg. And they're talking about how part of their mission and their goal is getting youth involved. Mm-hmm. He's not necessarily talking about just young kids. He's talking about people between like 18 to 30 sort of range, getting them involved within the community. People who are maybe starting families to get them inspired and instill culture within these youths, and then they can instill that culture within their children so it continues. Because it's all too easy for within even one generation for cultural aspects to just disappear if you're not actively participating in preserving them.
Absolutely. That is so true, and it is the main driver for festivals like this as well, to make sure that people have some exposure to things that might excite them about about culture.
Seeing other people get excited about their culture might instill an inspiration in someone to be like, hey, that's right, this part of my background I've never really pursued before. Maybe I should check it out. And then you have new blood that can rejoin these organizations, people learning together, and then it just helps them grow and to preserve that heritage and culture for generations to come.
We are all on the same page.
We're all converted to that.
We're culture junkies, babes.
Yeah, last year you had a new area that you got set up. I guess just let's go around and just tell me a little bit about how Folktoria went last year.
Well, it went well, but we had typical June rain, which caused some pretty serious problems with getting the audience we wanted, but also with things like the marley floor for the dancers getting wet is very dangerous for it, and slippery for the dancers too. It's not without its dangers for them. So we had some operational difficulties we had to work around last year, but we got some great performances. And yeah, I think we were kind of nestled into our spot a little bit. Even though we'd been off for 2 years, it felt very comfortable. People seemed to be happy to be back. And that was comforting, you know, because we were a little worried that people would be less enthusiastic because of the two-year break.
I remember last year that even though there was rain on both days, I supported the ice cream truck because it wasn't their day for a lot of business. The performances are under stage cover, but you don't have the same feel. The audience factor makes such a difference.
Yeah.
And if they can't stand there and watch in the rain.
Except those who are very, very dedicated.
Yeah, the parents of or relatives of the performers would hang in there, of course. So that was what marred it. But I think overall, I think there's just a real sense that people want that kind of feeling of that type of festival in the community. And I think that, you know, building upon the years that the word will get out and people will look at it as kind of a destination for the beginning of June.
What about you, Melvin? How'd you feel?
We also had a concern that both the Centennial Square is surrounded by the City of Victoria and the Capital Regional District building. And they kept talking about development plans and making the square unavailable while they're redeveloping. So it was back and forth and back and forth. And we couldn't pin them down to whether they would proceed with them. Renovations during our weekend or what happened later. So that was a big headache on our part until they decided that they weren't going forward last year. So
yeah, having to create kind of a site plan A and site plan B to deal with whichever location the stage would end up being.
So there was a few frustrations and a few hiccups last year, but you know, when things were going, how did you feel about the performances and the different cultural groups that signed up last year?
Well, I liked the fact that we had a fashion show, so to speak. It wasn't like models on a runway, but there were different people that were from different cultural backgrounds, and they had someone who spoke about what they were wearing. And there was background music. So that was different from a dance type performance or singing. So that, I think that was a really nice added feature.
For sure. It's hard for me to pick out anything in particular because I am just in such a state of happiness through the whole thing. I am always in awe of the Mexican dancers with their beautiful butterfly moves with their giant skirts, and they must weigh a ton, and they float around the stage like nobody's weighed down by tons of fabric. And our lovely, lovely Filipina dancers were just so delightful. And Daisy was back to do her special keeping a glass of water from spilling dance. And she's just so skillful. It's just amazing. But all of it is so much fun. So much fun. Melvin, any highlights?
Well, it's just the age range. I'm sure some of the Punjab kids were under 5 and some of the other dancers were over 80. So
yeah,
I think we covered all those bases.
Yeah.
For groups. Mm-hmm. And the live music groups were great too. The Polish White Eagle Polish band and a local band to play Balkan music. So it was nice to have them.
How was engagement afterwards? Did you get any messages of people who were heard about and maybe were, you know, maybe a little turned off because of the rain or something like that? Maybe they're a little hesitant to attend, but we're excited about learning more about Folktoria, about the different cultural groups and organizations within the area. What sort of a reception or responses did you get after the event?
Well, we tried to have a survey and people are very reluctant to do that. I don't know why. So I would say because of the weather, we did have people who kind of came in. They'd already planned to be there, whether it was because they had a person performing or whether it was just that they said, I'm going to go after lunch, and they did. But there wasn't a lot of hanging around. So people tended to be quite brisk when they left. So, no, we haven't seen a whole lot of feedback from our audience, except that they're so enthusiastic when they're there. Like there's no, even in the rain, the people were very, full-hearted.
After a lot of the performances, people, usually Melvin would have made an announcement or about a group and what, if you want to know more about this group, you can come and speak to this person. So I think people were following up if they had an interest, that they came to the end of the performance and stood at the side of the stage and just kind of had a huddle of maybe commenting about the performance, but also learning. If they were potentially interested, then they would have had a kind of face-on opportunity to find out more about it.
So more to the individual performance groups than to the Folktoria organization. Mm-hmm. I agree with Pam. You would see huddles.
Well, that's good to see that at least there was that engagement that after a performance, absolutely, people are like, hey, this was really cool. I'd love to get to know you a little bit more about your culture sort of thing. So that's good to see, or I guess for me, good to hear.
And there were several that came up and wanted to know how to perform in it next time.
Yeah.
So they happened to be there and catch the entertainment. So, you know, it was nice to get their contact information as well.
Nothing in particular, except a good cooperation with the next group up. So they were always there on time and ready to perform. It made it easy for me as the master of ceremonies to not worry about running around and finding where's this group, who's there, and they coordinated with our music producer, so they were all ready, and he was very accommodating to the, you know, to whatever hardware they brought to make it work. So
speaking of music, you know, that can be a disaster if somebody's music doesn't play or, you know, there's some other technical issue.
Oh, I've seen events like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, we were very lucky. Everybody had, you know, took care, had the right kind of equipment and got their music recorded in a way that could be used. And so there weren't really delays. Things went pretty spontaneously, kind of seamlessly rather, between one thing to another. And one thing that we did have, not necessarily performing, but definitely entertaining, and that were youth from the International Summer Village, and they were available to do crowd energizers. And so that was just so much fun to have, you know, there were two on stage and they would get people in the audience to do either certain actions or say certain things in echo. And that was a riot. So they were really good to fill if there was little breaks in time between performances.
I totally forgot, but this is absolutely the case. Like, serendipity is such a beautiful thing. So we had a couple of little gaps that just spontaneously appeared. And one fella, his name is Rajan, he just got up on stage and sang a bunch of lovely, powerful French Canadian songs. He's got a wonderful repertoire and lots of energy. So he really filled that gap with verve. And then Sunday morning, we had another little gap. I really don't know how these things happened, if people were just a little faster than they thought or what.
But happy little accidents, right?
Happy accident, because the lovely people from the Hungry Bubba food truck came and sang. They're from an Indigenous father and daughter from the Cowichan Valley, and they got up and sang together some of the songs of their people, and that was just such a treat and absolutely unexpected and so welcome.
The big question this year, I mean, what's Folktoria going to look like? And I mean, of course, knock on wood, weather is beautiful and nice this time.
Just a little less in the downpour department. We'll take a little rain, but not so much.
A rain overnight, not during the day.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it'll cool down things if it gets a little warm, just, and then the next day everyone's ready to go.
Well, this is going to sound very boring, but we just want more of the same. Like, that's the whole purpose of this, is to get these groups out, to get them together, and to build this community of cultural performance. So we want more of it every year, and you know, hopefully down the road we'll be able to expand to maybe 3 days or something. So you know, this year we're still at 2 days, but yeah, we want to repeat what's working in a way that will continue to engage and excite the multiple layers of cultural wealth we have in our city.
How many people do you have registered this year to participate?
Oh, I can't remember how big the spots are. We're full. There isn't an empty spot, but I'll have a look at a spreadsheet while other people talk.
Yeah, so Pam or Melvin, walk me through what the weekend is going to look like.
Friday afternoon, the tent people are coming to put a big canopy over top of the stage, and that'll stay up for the weekend, so at least the performers will stay dry and somewhat out of the sun. The sun moves around from, you know, high noon up to 7 p.m. or so. It's couldn't place the canopy to cover all that area, but so then we have our opening ceremonies at noon on Saturday. A few politicians will speak, I hope not at too much length, but and the first, of course, acknowledgement of the first that we're on First Nations historical land. And then just solid performances, just one after the other, so until 7 p.m. So.
And what does that Sunday look like then?
We do it all again from the same, you know, 12 to 8 p.m. So I think we stop at 7. It's Sunday night in Victoria. They roll up the sidewalks and people go home. So
then there will be hopefully lots of volunteers to do the takedown part. You know, rolling up the marley floor and having to do that, you know, with the edges exactly aligned. If it rains, we have to dry it off before we can roll it. So
that's a whole thing.
Yeah. You know, getting volunteers is still what we're seeking to do, try to encourage more people to be part of not just their performance part, but to lend a hand on setups or other things during the year that require, you know, meeting and doing some planning, what works, what doesn't work, and trying to figure out ways to do it better every time.
And if someone's interested in volunteering, where do they go? How do they reach out?
Well, we just put up some job descriptions on Volunteer Victoria. And of course, we have a website, which if people know to look there, they could look. And we also... I will be putting out a kind of general call on our Facebook page.
So also at this event, I know last year we talked a little bit about how, like, there's some food trucks around there as well that take place.
Yes.
Is there a particular one that you really enjoy going to and partaking in the food?
Well, I like all of it. It's hard to pick a favorite. You know, we have a few repeats and some that are new, and looking forward to trying the new ones participating this year.
So what sort of cultures are all represented within these food trucks? Just a ballpark, maybe.
Looks like about 16 separate performing groups.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so in 2 half days.
Food trucks, in past years we had the Filipino Cultural Society with lots of their food all heated in that. Italian Community Association was there last year. Hungry Baba, that's named after the father of the owner of the business. So she named it after her father. So the Hungry Baba. So
that's nice.
So I think this year we have an Indian food truck and a First Nations food truck and a Greek food truck and what was the other one? The Hungarians couldn't come this year. That was too bad. They can't get volunteers. This is where we need those younger people to start participating.
It's the struggle. Yeah, getting those younger volunteers involved, getting people excited. I mean, it can be hard to volunteer. Like, you know, time off is precious. But I know for myself, I feel like I'm getting to the age where I feel that it's important to start giving back to the community, getting involved, getting yourself established, learning who's here. Because, you know, COVID really took a number on our communities and our connections to each other. So I feel like the next 5 years are going to be really instrumental in taking time to really focus on rebuilding community and connection.
All right. So we have Country Crepes, Don't Bannock, Katya's Kitchen, Greek and Go, and Cuckoo. Cuckoo's fine Indian cuisine. So, and that, like, it doesn't sound like that much, but we're right downtown. And
yeah, it's a nice little selection there.
How much space we have in the precincts of the square.
And I mean, you mentioned you have plans to grow and develop, but you have to start off somewhere. You have to start with your foundations, build up that excitement, that interest, and then each year more people get to learn about it. More people show up and be like, wow, that was really cool. I want to help out. You have more food truck people being like, hey, there's a lot of foot traffic down here. Absolutely. I want to get involved.
Well, and the more food trucks there are right down in the square, the more people are like liable to accidentally end up at Victoria too, because or smell something yummy. Yeah.
You know, another happy accident.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, happy accidents are our best friends. I just want to point out that I used to be a 14-year-old who sang in Folk Fest back in 1973. So look what can happen to you if you start having these experiences when you're young.
Yeah, you build a whole life around celebrating community.
And making music together. Yeah.
The event is taking place on June 3rd to 4th. And where can people go to find out more information? And I guess, first of all, is there a ticket at all? Is it a free event?
Yeah, it's an ungated event. So people just walk in and participate.
There you go. So there's no excuses to not show up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's on all of the bus route. So it's right off Douglas Street. So there's a bus stop right smack dab in front of the square. So it's really convenient. And there's a huge parkade right next to the square as well. So it's really well placed for getting there.
Once again, where can people go to find out more information?
Our website, folktoria.ca. And we have a Facebook page, Folk at Home. F-O-L-K at Home. And we're in all the local places. Like Tourism Victoria has a page for us and you know, Downtown Business Association. So if people look at those sites, like Do 250 is area code for part of Victoria. So So, and Victoria Buzz, there's lots of people frequent those social sites. So they'll see our ads that we've put up there for free, and next door as well. So
local TV will be advertising as well.
Yes.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah.
We just saw our little mm-hmm. little commercial just the other day. It's very right. cute.
Now that's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for listening to another episode of You Talk. Join me again next Tuesday as we connect with more people from your community.
Bring it back.